All right. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for all these beautiful people. Praise you, Father, for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for your protection upon all of us. And we are in perilous times. Somebody said a while ago, we are. For those who don't know you, it's very perilous. But for those who know you, that we're sitting in your hands, Lord. And we know we are protected by your Psalms 91. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night with you, talking about you, thinking about you, and praising your name, Lord. You're worthy. So worthy. We love you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in us to slice and dice the flesh off of us and get us prepared for this great happening that's fixing to happen. Lord, lead us tonight. Direct our talkings to how you want us to, whatever you want us to talk about. And Father, we just praise you for all that's accomplished in your name. And let us be led by your Spirit, Lord. And let us speak as the Spirit gives us the unction to speak, Father. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that all of us want nothing but you. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to be servants of yours and servants of one another. Praise you, Father, for your time here with your Son, Jesus, to show us how to do that walk. And why he went to the cross to give us the Holy Spirit, that overcoming power to walk this walk that you want us to walk, Lord. Thank you for it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Anoint everybody here, Lord, with a piece of the puzzle that we can come tonight and boldly proclaim your word, Lord. We praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. One more thing. Lord, we just come against any kind of attack from the enemy to try to mess up our communications. In Jesus' name, we bind you, cast you out of here, out of everybody's computer, the internet, and everything else. We thank you, Father, that we're all going to have an open channel, and it's all going to be good tonight in Jesus' name. There's no mess up. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, let some people in here. Yeah, go ahead, Lana and Phil.
So my dad's cousin moved here from Colorado, and we got to invite them over for breakfast today. And we had a really good fellowship for a few hours, and she's had a really tough life. She married at 22 to a pretty horrible human being, which we now know was possessed, and has basically turned his entire neighborhood into, well, everybody fears him, and because he's got some spiritual problems. And we didn't, I didn't know this, but I'd like to pray for her that she has moved past it. God has been working through her and has blessed even through the divorce and all that. She ended up with her child, and God works through her and is revealing himself to them more and more. So she's a believer. I don't know if she's full gospel or not. She attends a Baptist church, independent Baptist church. I don't know the details there, but I don't think it's spirit led from what I understand, but they don't they don't condemn praying in tongues, and they just don't do it. So if we could pray for her, cast off any of that past witchcraft that could have been sent her way by his family, all those ties, anything that's still lingering, and anything that could be there, if we could pray all that down for her. Tomorrow we're going to be over there again at her place this time. She's actually my neighbor a couple blocks away. So around 4 p.m. tomorrow, we're going to join them for, I guess, a lunch or something, or dinner. I don't know, supper, whatever it is. But yeah, if we could pray all that down, if we could pray for Michael, for her and her daughter. Her name is Veronica. And Elizabeth. And her daughter, Elizabeth, she's 17. And Satan has been fighting for her life as well. But the Lord has been merciful and has shown her dreams and the daughter, and has been leading them miraculously. And so they're very thankful that they have each other and the Lord.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, let's do that. Lord, we lift up Veronica and Elizabeth. Lord, you know the situation behind them. They left a demon-possessed man, which is good, and we thank you for it, Father, for getting them away from that dangerous situation. Now, in the name of Jesus right now, I bind all word curses, witchcraft curses, thrown against both of them in the name of Jesus, and cast them out. Cast them down as null and void. All of them. Every one of them. None of them will break through to either one of them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we break all soul ties between Veronica and Elizabeth and her dad and her husband in the name of Jesus. We break them completely right now in the name of Jesus. And any kind of religious spirit, we bind you up and cast you out of her life as well in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. Spirit of I bind up the spirit of rejection in her right now in the name of Jesus and command it to go. The spirit of the fear of rejection, you go as well in the name of Jesus. Out of both of them, you go from them. In the name of Jesus. Fear, you go in the name of Jesus. Confusion, go in the name of Jesus, out of both of them. And Father, we thank you for a complete turnaround from these two. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you would erase all bad memories from both of them of this time behind them. And Lord, we thank you that they're going to look ahead now to Jesus and not to the past. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful, wonderful deliverance for Veronica and Elizabeth. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I ask this. I ask that you place it in both of them to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray that you give Theo and Alana wisdom and grace and mercy upon these two when they go see him tomorrow. But especially, Lord, give them wisdom to speak the things that you want spoken to Veronica and Elizabeth. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in these two. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you for placing joy in their heart. Joy, peace. And we praise you, Father, for cleansing their mind of all terrible thoughts in Jesus' name. And Father, we cast out also the spirit of unforgiveness and command it to go from them in the name of Jesus. Place it in their heart to pray for this man. Pray for his salvation. And Father, we thank you for doing that for both of them. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. It is done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Okay.
I also have a prayer request and a praise report. I was talking to Theo's sister today, and she is she has a situation where she has this precious, beautiful 15-month-old baby girl. She literally looks like a Gerber baby. And Theo's sister, Elena, feels driven to take this beautiful child for her annual checkups to the doctor and to receive vaccinations. But the problem is, Elena is not confident that she should be doing these vaccinations, but she's afraid not to do them. And so when she takes her child to the doctor, she's just tormented in watching these vaccinations being done, but yet she can't stop herself from what she feels to do what she's supposed to do. Though she knows we don't vaccinate our kids, even though we had them in a hospital, and praise God, we're free of such a torment. And so I told her that, you know, I have a biasness against vaccinations, but it's definitely her and her husband's choice. And they can't seem to come to a decision to not or not do them. They're driven by fear. And so I said, I told her that she needs to pray against this fear. She needs to drive down this fear so that she can have clarity of mind to make a decision on where she stands, whether she's going to do them and trust God or not do them and trust God. And so she agreed to let me pray for her, which I did. And so I just asked, because I can see the torment in her eyes, even when she's speaking to me, that you all just agree with me that the Lord will set her free, has set her free of this fear, and that he will guide her heart in order to make the right choice. You know, if he can convince them in a dream, and she's the one that receives dreams every once in a while, if he can convince her and her husband in a dream not to do these vaccinations, not to torture themselves with this, and to set them free of this. So I've already prayed, and I just ask that you all believe with me, and it is done in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We do. We hook all our faith together with Lana and Phil, and we thank you, Father, that fear has gone from Elena. And we praise you, Father, that now you have taken out doubt and unbelief from her. And we thank you, Father, that she no longer has fear of doubt and unbelief, and she trusts you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And we put a wall of protection around that baby right now in the name of Jesus, that nothing that man does to her will harm her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked for prayer because I, for some reason, felt very weirded out after reading a book on heaven. I didn't get very far, and it just something clicked with me that was wrong. And it was one of the books from the UVM site. And so since then, I've been casting down that unbelief and that discouragement that attacked me. And I've been asking Father to reveal it to me in his own way, because I knew it was wrong. I was like, heaven is so wonderful. How could I not want to go there? But that's how I felt. And on Saturday night, I don't remember the conversation much. I just knew that somebody posted a link to Odin Hetrick, and I clicked on it. And the next day I went to explore it. And as soon as I started reading, I couldn't wait to get my hands on those books. And so what I've done is, we watched the YouTube interview, and I'm going to order the books, but that interview has me so absolutely excited for heaven that Father God, keep me motivated for the rest of my time on earth, because boy, oh boy, do I want to be there and reach the very best that the Lord has prepared for me. I don't want to be left behind in any way. Not with Theo, not with my family. I am so excited, and I am so encouraged. So whoever posted that in the chat, know that it's done a great work and brought me great comfort. I've just shared it with a few people, and I hope I can get it out more, because I've never heard about heaven the way I have from Odin Hetrick. And it's just been overwhelming happiness, encouragement, and joy to me. So thank you so much for that.
Amen. Amen. That is an awesome book. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. I wanted to add to Michael's prayer for Veronica and Elizabeth. Father, I thank you for both of them. I thank you for setting them free from such bondage and torment. And I also ask, Lord, that you would bring healing to both of them, their spirit, their minds, their emotions, the very depths of their souls, Lord, from everything that they've been subjected to. I ask, Lord, that you will help them, as Michael prayed, just to forgive and to pray for this man, and that they will be able to do it with a true heart of compassion and love. And I bind up and command all spirits of resentment, bitterness, anger, uncertainties and doubts about why these things happened and all the confusion of the enemy. And I also command a spirit of hurt to go from them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for doing a good work of healing and drawing them both very close to you. And I do pray in agreement, Lord, that you would give both Theo and Lana wisdom and discernment, and that your presence is there in leading them and guiding them and how to minister to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe with it. In Jesus' name. It is done. Thank you, Father. Okay, we need to pray for this. We got a text from somebody that's, let me just read it. It says, I'm writing to request prayer for a young couple and their new baby. The newborn daughter has been diagnosed with an aorta that is too small to pass all of the blood her body needs. She has been sent to Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana, for surgery. Okay. Well, Lord, I know that you can replace that aorta, aorta in the name of Jesus. And I command that aorta to be replaced by one that's normal in the name of Jesus. And when that doctor looks at it or takes a picture of it or anything, it's going to be normal. And that baby is completely healed right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we know you love children, and I do too. And I know by the power and the stripes of Jesus that baby is healed in Jesus' name. And it's going to confound the doctors and mom and dad, and they're going to know it was God because the doctor didn't have anything to do with it. And Lord, we just give you the glory for it right now in Jesus' name. You get the glory, God, not the doctors, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing in it. And Lord, we thank you for honest doctors that are going to look at it and say, she doesn't need surgery. She's got a perfectly normal aorta. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Glory to God for this newborn baby that's healthy. Anything else in that body be healed right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that baby is completely normal. Just like that baby at the Children's Hospital years and years ago, Lord, that had they born with a hole in the heart. They're going to have to do something about it. And they asked me to pray. And you did your miracle, Lord. And you were able to give them back their baby whole again before the doctors could ever slice and dice on it in Jesus' name. And the same thing is going to happen to this baby. I ask and I pray, Father, that you do this for him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You're an awesome God, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. I believe it. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Claire.
Just a quick praise report. I have had to print quite a bit of stuff for my kids, and I'm not naturally a tech savvy person. I've been known to shed tears about PCs and Macs and stuff in the past, and the Lord's been doing a good work in me. Number one, by giving me Mr. Techie over here as a husband, but also just in committing everything to the Lord. And this morning, Rian took the kids out super early to go fish. And so I thought, oh, I'll get ahead and I'll print everything out. and I knew it wasn't printing properly. So I commanded my angel to meet us in Jesus' name to come minister to me, which felt a little bit weird, I have to say, but anyway, I'm dead, like it's Christ in me. And so I just prayed and I thanked the Lord for giving me this angel and for working through it. And do you know that I coded? Like, who knew that I even knew what, how would that ever have happened? And so I coded, and I got onto some funny little site and I had to put in a little code and then I had to do a whole bunch of stuff. But my things are printing, as the Aussies would say, in schmicko condition, which means top notch. And I give all the glory to God for that.
Amen. And it's still working.
All right. Praise God. Now you know where to take your printers. Amen. Well, that reminds me, my Mac, what I'm talking to y'all on, has stopped printing to my printer. And this gives me a warning signal, and I get all kinds of foreign language people trying to tell me what to do to make it right. And I go through every procedure of it, and it hasn't worked yet. So y'all just pray with me. I command this mic to print on that HP printer in Jesus' name and print better than it ever has before in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that that printer is healed, and the Mac, it's not the printer, it's the Mac, and the Mac is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that this printer will work great with my Mac in Jesus' name. It worked great with my HP laptop, but with the Mac, it gives me an error signal, said some stupid stuff, but not anymore, right? Jesus' name. Amen. It's healed. My mic is healed. I love this mic. It's 21 inches. I got a big screen TV here. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Claudia. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I am so blessed, girl.
God bless you, God.
All right. Yeah. Has anybody got any more prayer requests or praise reports?
I got a praise report from my daughter, the one that doesn't have a nose. She had a video call with her surgeon, and he was pleased to see her skin growing. That's so cool. And he wants to give it a little bit longer to grow so he won't have to graft as much skin. But he doesn't know that he's not going to have to do anything because the Lord's doing it right now. And I'm just so excited because I've been praying and thanking the Lord that to heal her nose, and he's doing it. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Just a minute. I was going to give a short little testimony. I had somebody stop at my house today, and they were with a security system thing. And I think I've been getting things in the mail, but I've just been throwing them away because I wasn't interested in it. And he says, well, don't you want somebody to help watch over your home here? And I said, no. He says, well, aren't you afraid being here by yourself? And so I shared the little testimony that I have shared with you guys before about the first night I was there and kind of talking to the Lord about this. And then, so I asked for a verse, and I got that random verse where he said, I know where thou dwellest. Uh-huh. And my finger was on the word dwellest. And so I shared that with this young man, and he said, well, now that's pretty cool. You know, it's like, so if I have heavenly divine protection, I'm good. So anyway, I thought it was kind of fun to share with him.
That would be
good. Yes. But that was good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You were talking about a printer not working. And back when I was teaching and doing library stuff, I had difficulties with the printer and the computer getting along together because they just didn't want to cooperate with me at all. And I'm not a techie, no way. And I had been trying and trying, and somebody else, I would go to other people for advice. And the one guy says, well, I just type them all out by hand. It's job security. I said, well, no, there's a program. It's supposed to print out all the different cards. You just type in one thing, you know, one card, and it's all done. Anyway, so one day I just prayed about it. It's like, Lord, I am not going to type one card at a time. And I can't figure this out, but I know you know. And you know, I pressed print and it spewed out the cards for many, 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 many books. Anyway, it was the coolest thing. And yeah, he knows how to make them work. So anyway, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You are so good. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Then he can work out Michael's printer problems too, can't he? That's right. Mine's already taken care of. The Lord just took care of it. I know it's ready. I go to print on that thing, it's going to just boom, 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 boom. Just turn them right on out. It's an old laser. It's an HP 4250DN, which is a great laser printer, because I can get about 9 million pages out of one of them, or whatever it is, you know. And it just goes on and on and on. It maybe every 2 or 3 years I have to change the toner out of it. It's cheap, so I like it. It's working too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Hi, Andrew. There's Lynn in. Hey, Leo. What's up, bro? Okay. I got you, Greg. I can't hear you, Leo. Are you Lena? One of you. We're not hearing you. Lena. Yeah, hi, Elena.
Not
around. Your audio is terrible, but that's okay.
I understood. Hi, everyone. Who it
was. Hey, now we heard you. Praise God.
Yeah,
you go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, Leo's not around, so it's just me, but hi, everyone.
Hey, good to have you on, girl.
Hey, sister, God bless you.
Yes, thank you. God bless you too.
Okay, anybody else with a praise report or a prayer request or just whatever?
Rihanna and Claire, do we tell them about Jordan or not?
Jordan.
I'll take that as a yes. No, just a report, I guess. Last night, our time.
Okay.
Because it's, well, anyway, don't worry about that. We had a session in Zoom room with Jordan, who we've prayed for in here previously. I brought him up, who he was the guy I was talking about who was who had woken up from dreams of monkeys chasing him, and he had scratches on his body. Long story short, we had a chat with him last night and a whole lot of praying and we were praying and did some deliverance work on him. That's about the size of it, unless you want to add anything, Claire or Rianne.
I just would like to add that I got a verse this morning as I was praying for Jordan by faith at random.
I got Matthew 4, verse 9 and 10, which said, "And he said unto him, all these things I will give thee, if thee will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only that thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." And I just feel like that is, well, I don't feel, I know that that is the Lord telling us that this Jordan character, who is delightful, is, he's got angels ministering to him right now, and those demons are gone, and he's going to be walking in faith and growing and maturing in Christ, and it's just wonderful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Jordan's complete deliverance in Jesus' name. Okay. Claudia wants us to pray for her to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Praise God. And we've had that happen on here a number of times, so it's not a big deal for God, right? God can do it and will do it. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Claudia to you. We thank you for her wanting to receive all the benefits that you have to offer, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you fill her right now. Claudia, raise your arms, because he is fixing to fill you up, girl. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for filling her with your Holy Spirit. So much so that there's nothing left but you, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Fill her up, Lord, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and out the fingers, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that she is already filled. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, to speak in tongues, here's what you do when you speak in tongues. Now, everybody here, you're not going to embarrass anybody. But when you speak in tongues, it's something that you have to speak out of your mouth. He's not going to force you to do anything. But he's there, and he's wanting to come out in a language just for you, between you and God. And so what I suggest you do, is just raise your arms, shut your eyes, and start speaking whatever it is that comes up through your belly, so to speak. Because that's where your spirit is. That's where your spirit resides. It's down in this area, and it just comes right up, comes right on out. Kori mahanda la kiara bosondere bosati, shondere bokopana rara bosiate. No matter what it sounds like to you, that's what you do. That's all you have to do, is just raise your arms and start speaking whatever God puts in you.
Not now. Okay. I was gonna ask, but that the Holy Spirit gives me tongue later, because I don't like to do this in front of everybody. I feel
okay. All right, that's all right. But you get by yourself, and it's just a faith thing. Okay, it's a faith thing, and He's not going to force you to talk. You have to speak it out. And it'll come out. You'll have a full language. I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
All right. Glory to God.
Michael, why don't you unmute everybody, and we'll just speak a minute in front of her and just show her the differences that there are and all of the different things that the Lord does to us.
Just go ahead and unmute yourself, because I don't have that. They took that away from me. Okay. That's something that everybody has to do, is to unmute yourself. Zoom.
Unmute yourself and speak in tongue.
Yeah. We're praying. Lord, pray through us. We're praying. We're praying. We're
praying. We're
I knew a man, Claudia, that had one word, spirit, and it was da 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 da, and he kept it for quite some time. Matter of fact, he's on site. And but it was a word from God, and he knew it was a word from God. And finally, he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I just so appreciate your heavenly language that you've given me, but it sounds so just repetitive. He said, would you give me another language? And immediately he did. Wow. And he just flowed with the full language again. That was Rex Verone. He's got a teaching on the site called something about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, something like that. Yeah. So don't be embarrassed about what God gives you. It's the language between you and He. And He gives you a language for one reason, that you don't understand, so you don't mess up the prayer that He's praying through you. You know how we do sometimes. We like to put our own knowledge to it and ask the Lord to do some stuff that He don't want us to ask Him to do. That Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need, and He prays through us to the Father that away. Praise God. Amen.
And Claudia, if you've asked Him to give you the Holy Spirit, there's a trust there. You have a trust, a confidence that He will fulfill that, and then, you know, just praise Him in syllables, and God, you know, God will take it from there. And, you know, it is prayer. So it's something that you initiate. When you pray, you start it with the same way when praying. It's called praying in the Spirit. And so, and you trust Him that He has given you the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Can't hear you, Judy. Oh, okay. You were talking to Gay Nolan Sue. All right. Oh, my. All right. What are we going to talk about tonight? What were we going to talk about tonight? Patrick, I got your message late this afternoon. I've been busy the last couple of days, and I apologize for that. And he wanted to talk about something. I forget what it was. I just kind of glanced at it this afternoon. You want to explain to us?
Yeah, can I look up the email I sent you? Well,
sure.
Wait a minute. Let me look.
Yeah.
I've gone through a few things since then, so I'm not sure what I was even. I think it was 2 Corinthians 3. Lord has had me in that for a while. Yeah. Excuse me just a second. I'm fumbling around here. You kind of caught me off guard there, Michael. Not that that's bad.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. Should have given you a heads up. But...
That's all right. Got to be able to think on our feet, don't we?
Yeah.
I was... it seems like the Lord takes me through. I don't know if it's because He led me into the construction business, or he certainly has shown me a lot about that, but he's given me, I don't know what it would be, but I think it would be kind of a desire to know the cause and effect relationships of things. I know it comes out specifically in the construction industry when you're trying to build something and the drawings and the directions are not clear. And so it, when the direction is not clear, you get an unclear response, or you get an unclear, you get whatever the contractor felt like doing, basically, or thought that is what, you know, he wanted to do. And this is the way I usually do things, so this is the way I'm going to do it, since it's not really clear. So it's forced me to study certain details and to identify when it's not clear. You have to go back and you have to, you know, ask the designer, you know, what did you actually mean by this? And what I mean by that is, can you give me a dimension between this point and this point, and what kind of material is this, and those sort of things, which architects don't seem to dwell in that universe at all. They dwell in the visionary picture form of stuff. So because of that, I, for whatever reason, I do that with the scripture as well. And I got hung up in, I know this is David's, probably one of his favorite verses. I think if he mentions this verse, there's only one other that I think he mentions more than this, and that would be Ecclesiastes 1:9. And I can't even quote it right now, but basically it's everything repeats. So I was looking at this verse, and I'll just read it. First, it's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it starts out, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Now, so as I looked at that, my first question was, but we all with unveiled face. So what does he mean by with an unveiled face? Because if we want to behold the glory of the Lord in the mirror and be transformed, we have to be looking with an unveiled face. Is that something that we have? Or is that something that we need to be aware of, that we need to have, or we need to seek, or we need, you know, what is that unveiled face that we're talking about? And so I started reading when you see the word, but you have to kind of follow it back up to the next verse up above that. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I was going up to the one before that, verse 16, it says, whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And because of the but, I went up above that to read, and it's talking about Israel and their awareness of Christ, because there is a veil upon their eyes, their understanding, their awareness. So it says, but whensoever it, or Israel, I believe, shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So that unveiled face is connected with turning to the Lord or coming to the Lord. So what does, and so I guess I was just looking at what it was, that veil. And I got to reading, and it has to do with the, I believe, the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant relationship with God. In verse 6, it says, who also made us sufficient not ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, and the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones, came with glory, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses for the glory of his face, which glory was passing away, how shall not rather the ministration of the Spirit be with glory? So as I was pondering all of this stuff, the old covenant, I'm kind of rambling now, but the old covenant was also a ministration of death. And it, apparently Moses, having made it through that ministration of death, and I guess the only thing I'm thinking is that the glory upon his face was that he went through that ministration of death into that and came into that proper relationship with God, so to speak. And God had him put a veil on his face so that the children of Israel could not see that, could not see that the end of that death or the end of that covenant and the covenant of life, which was the glory of God within him. Kind of spitballing now. But so as I got to thinking about that and reading down, because the glory that he's talking about here has a significance in the very verse that I started with, and that is, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Doesn't actually say we're beholding in the mirror the Lord. It says we're beholding the glory of the Lord. So there's something to do with the beholding his glory and, like Moses, where does it say, having 3:12, it says, having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness of speech and are not as Moses, who put a veil upon his face. Not as Moses, who put that veil on his face so that the glory could not be seen.
You know, David talks about this particular scripture numerous times in the studies. Mm-hmm. And why don't we just open it up and see what people have to say about it, that glory.
So let me ask the question that I asked you.
All right.
What is the specific, a couple things in verse 12, having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. What is a specific hope referred to here in verse 12, which motivates great boldness of speech? That would be one question. The other questions that I had in verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. What does it mean to behold with an unveiled face? And what is the glory of the Lord that we are looking at? A specific aspect of his character, nature, and authority, or his general overall glory? And the third question would be, does transformed from glory to glory mean from the glory of the ministration of the condemnation of death in the old covenant into the ministration of the righteousness, liberty, and the spirit of the new covenant? Or does it mean growing from one level of maturity to the next level of maturity? Is the transformed into the same image a one-time event or a progressive maturing process or both? So those were my questions.
All right, let's, I'm going to open it up. We're taking one question at a time. The first question is from 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. What is the specific hope referred to here in verse 12, which motivates great boldness of speech? Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. Somebody want to explain that? Yeah, Missy?
Well, I guess the easiest thing to say is Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know, simply put, that's the ultimate hope. In other words, coming into the glory of the Lord, like it says in verse 18, that's the hope, because the old covenant passed away. It was all works. Okay. That's what it's talking about here. The law passed away, and so we have a new covenant now, which is a covenant of grace. The old was your works. Now we're in covenant grace, and it's you know, it's all on God. You know, it's all God. It's all by grace. Nothing of our works. He's done it all for us. So, and this is the hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. To come to come into his image.
Okay. All right, let's see what Leon's got. Go ahead, Leon.
Look, I'm not going to answer a question, but I want to direct everybody back to Exodus 20, where the Lord gives the Ten Commandments to the people of God. Now, he directly speaks to the people. But what do they say? They in chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightnings flashing, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So here's the ordeal. Now, God was literally speaking to the people, and they rejected that. They didn't want to hear that. They wanted to just hear from Moses and not from God. Now, look at us in contrast to that. We constantly ask the Lord to speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. I want to be part of what you've got going, Lord. Just speak to me and let me know what you want me to do today and things like that. So that whole ordeal with the veil on the face of Moses was the same ordeal about not speaking with God, you know, about them not wanting to hear from God. And they rejected God's presence. And when Moses began to shine with a kind of glory, they would reject that too. That's why he put the veil over his face. And because they rejected that, they never got a true recognition of who God was and what he wanted to do with them. And that's why they failed. It became the work of the flesh that they did. It became the ministry of death, which you just read back in a few verses ago, and because they rejected it, you know. But we got a different thing going here. We want to see the Lord. We want to hear from him. We want to enjoy him. We want to know his presence. We want to feel his spirit. We want everything we can get from God. And that's a difference there. And that's why he goes through all of this stuff here about being veiled. They didn't get a chance to enjoy anything about God because they had this veil over their face. You know, it was similar to the one that veiled the glory of God that was on Moses. So, you know, that's my take on the whole deal, you know. And anybody else wants to answer the question, they're welcome to. That's all I got to say.
That's good, Leon. Thank you. Go ahead, Julie.
Michael?
You can go ahead, Sue. That's all right.
Judy, do you know how to raise that blue hand? Okay. When Sue or somebody needs to talk, just raise that hand instead of just unmuting because I can see it better.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sue.
Well, when Pat was talking, and he was talking about the veil and everything, what crossed my mind about that is in the Old Testament, how the veil was always covering the Holy of Holies, and nobody could go into the Holy of Holies without, you know, just a priest that was ordained to be able to go. And if he did something wrong, he had a rope on him, on his leg. And if he had done something wrong while he was in the Holy of Holies, he'd be struck dead, and they'd have to pull him out with a rope. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent. I mean, this is what came to me when Pat was talking about. The veil was rent. It was ripped apart so that we could enter in. They were afraid to, I think, just like, you know, Leon was saying, they were afraid to go in. They were afraid to talk to God. They were afraid that they would be struck dead. Even when they were carrying the ark, one person was struck dead because he touched it. So, you know, there was a big fear of God, but, you know, I couldn't help but think about that veil though, because when he died on the cross and the veil was set apart, it was like the Lord was saying, you don't have the veil between God and you know, because of Jesus, we're not veiled. We don't have to be veiled anymore. You know, we can come to the Lord. We can come to the throne of grace. And pray to the Lord. We can talk to him like they were afraid to people. The only thing is I'm thinking of the denominations. They're still in that kind of situation where they're afraid to talk to God. You know, like Leanne was saying that, you know, we all can go to the Lord and we can talk to him. We can get in his presence and we're not going to be struck dead because we do it. So I thought that was kind of neat because I never correlated that veil, you know, where that goes into the Holy Holies. I never correlated that with having an unveiled face, but it connects, at least from what I was saying. Amen.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
That kind of fits what I was thinking about, what Sue was saying was the veil. It was what came to my mind when Leon was talking was that the Israelites say, you talk, you know, to Moses, you talk to God, you know, because they feared him. It's like, or we'll die. We can't talk to God. We can't listen to God or we'll die. And that's the flesh. I think what I believe the veil represents is our flesh, because no man, no flesh, no man can stand in the presence of God. No man will ever see God. If we ever see God and his glory, it's our spirit man. That's who lives. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's our spirit man. And that's the Christ in you who is our spirit man. And that's who is the hope of glory in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is your spirit man. And that's, so the veil to me represents the flesh. So with an unveiled face, you don't have the flesh. It's the glory of the Lord. In the spirit realm, the glory of the Lord is very well seen. And one day we'll see his glory.
And yet Moses stood in God's presence for 40 days, came down from the mountain, then went up for another 40 days. And he was in God's presence and he didn't die.
But, but was that his actual physical body that he actually saw God? But he saw him in flame, right?
He saw his back. But yeah. I mean, he was there with God. God talked to him. God hewed out the Ten Commandments on a stone for the first one. And then Moses had to hew the stone the second time. The first one was written with God's finger, but that was broken. And then after that, Moses had to hew the stone out.
But he was reflecting, Moses then was reflecting the glory of God having been in his presence.
Right.
And we're in the presence of the Lord. We're reflecting, the more time we spend in the presence of the Lord, which to me means it's his word, you know, sitting at the feet of Jesus and reading his word, we're in the presence of God. And the more God presence we're having, we're reflecting more and more. The more we repent and believe and, you know, come to understand more in wisdom of who he is and the, you know, just, you know, he reveals himself to us. Jesus said he would reveal himself to us. He's the word of God. So the more time we spend in his presence, the more of the glory of the Lord we're reflecting.
Amen. Dave, did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, I was kind of looking this over a little bit today myself. Maybe the Lord brought that to me, you know, intentionally this morning. But with Moses, he was a man-child image. He was a man-child. He was brought the people out of Egypt, which we will look forward to, a man-child bringing us out of our Egypt and into the wilderness. Now, the thing to consider about this was when Moses went up, he was in the presence of God. And it doesn't mean that he took, like we understand, the full presence. He could not, no flesh can see God and live. So that was a limitation still. Even though he had the presence of God and he glowed from being the presence of God, he still had a limitation. But he talked to God face to face and was like a friend with God. That was a really, that's a very interesting relationship. And God knew his name. So he knew Moses inside and out. And so, and God presented his name to Moses so he could know who God was. But during that time, it was 40 days. That's a sign of trial. That was a trial, not for Moses, but for Israel. And they failed that trial. Because what happened when he was gone, they had Aaron create the golden molten image. And they worshiped that molten image, we assume to be Baal, a false Jesus, a false God. And then they played and they got an idolatry. And those people were reprobated. That's probably an indication also and a warning for us, because this is a type and shadow. I mean, when we have our man-child here, that's going to make us responsible also. And that's what happened when Israel was brought out in the wilderness and they were provided for. And then Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments. That was a trial for them in their wilderness. And that's going to be a trial for us too. And for those that are coming out or the church, that they don't fall into any kind of idolatry back in the old ways of their fathers. So that's a trial, and it's an example. And there's going to be those that may fail this, you know. Well, we know there's going to be those that fail that. The other thing I find interesting, though, even though we have this veil that's been rent now with Jesus, and the veil was rent, it's symbolic that there's no more this partition or wall between us and God. Now we have this open heaven to a degree. In Corinthians, it still says we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the part will be done away with. And it says, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when I came a man, I put away the child's things, which we are, the more we get into the word, and we come mature. But he says, but for now, we see in a mirror dimly. We still don't, there's still something there that's preventing us from seeing the clearness in the image of God. I feel it. I know there's still something there I haven't pushed past yet. You know, in this life, there's still a dimness, a darkness that has not been removed. Even though we know where this veil has been removed, we have this open heaven, it still seems like there's a limitation there that has not been broken into yet to me. That's my thoughts. And I'm just going, I understand that when Paul says that, for we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Well, the face to face is when the flesh is finally removed. And we're in heaven, and we no longer have this hindrance of the flesh, and no longer have the hindrance of this world that's holding us back. That's what I think, and it's the only way I can understand it, because I still think I feel there's still something that has to be pushed out of the way. That's still in my way right now, even though I know there's this confidence in Jesus and Christ in me, the hope of glory, and all these things. There's still this thing that's not completely out of the way. And I know when Tom Kruger was in heaven, all that was removed. He had clear thought. He knew he was talking to a child of quantum physics, a little preemie child that he didn't understand until he got to heaven himself. There's a lot of things that are still not manifest to us that we have coming. And this dimness that we have is going to be gone. The darkness that we have is going to be gone. There's going to be a fullness when we have face to face with God. So I think there's still even more to hope for. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that out.
All right, let me catch you up for what we're talking about, Dave. That's part of it. Don't get me wrong. That's part of it. But we're talking 2 Corinthians 3:18. That verse that David always quotes. And the ones preceding it is 16, 17, and 18, I think, is what Pat asked. And that's good. What you said was awesome. What Pat was wanting to know, let me see if I got the questions here. And I'm sorry I didn't tell you right up front, was what... In 2 Corinthians 3 and 12, what is the specific hope referred to here in verse 12, which motivates great boldness of speech? And then down in 18, what does it mean to behold with an unveiled face? And what is the glory of the Lord that we're looking at? Is that a specific aspect of his character, nation, authority, or his general overall glory? And does transform from glory to glory mean from the glory of the ministration of condemnation of the old covenant into the ministration of righteousness and the liberty in the spirit of the new covenant? Or does it mean growing from one level of glory and maturing into the next level? That's the questions that were asked. And that's where we are. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I agree with, I feel the same way Dave does, as far as like there seems to be something there not able to push through or push through. I mean, that was a good statement.
Can I tell you what that is?
Sure.
That's our flesh. That's our flesh not being able to push through to the spiritual.
I agree. I think what I am feeling is like, I think I understand the battle with the flesh. And as I've been reading some other things, and kind of the Lord has kind of had me in other things as about this battle. And I believe that, you know, the promise that that not only did Jesus come to forgive sins, but one of the major aspects of his purpose in coming was to remove sin. So not only the forgiveness for the sins we have committed, but also the removal of that nature within us that provides the environment, the perfect environment for temptation of sin to take place. And the scripture says that he came to take away our sin. And I believe there's a connection somewhere there in that this not being able to push through, whether it be in faith or in awareness or both, of resting in that truth that Jesus has taken that sin in me, that motivation or that nature or whatever it is, and has removed it completely, and to be able to rest in peace with that. Truly, that would be or is peace. But I was thinking about the aspect of that verse, but we behold in the mirror the glory, and that glory, I think Sue referred to it before about talking about, say, in the denominations or the sects, there's this kind of fear of approaching God or whatever. There's a different relationship there of some sort, and I believe how I saw it or defined it before was that I think when I first became a Christian, I just recognized it as that the people that are in these churches seem to they have a relationship with God, but they just don't know Him. Now, it wasn't quite, I didn't understand, couldn't define it. But later on, I kind of refined it to look at it as more or less, these are New Testament Christians, but living in an old covenant relationship with God. And that was more or less clarified through Hebrews, the promise of the Spirit, which Paul went through in Hebrews there. But anyway, this beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, just like Moses beheld his glory and was transformed into that glory from glory to glory, it almost transformed into that same image. That image would be the image of the glory of the Lord. And it would seem that it would be a personal transformation from the glory of an old covenant relationship, or something that would be where my flesh, or dwelling in the awareness of my flesh in a certain aspect of my life, and it being transformed into that new relationship aspect of the new covenant relationship with God. I don't know, there's something to do there with the glory and the old glory, and transform from glory to glory, which to me kind of seems like that was kind of the indication, but I'll throw it out. I'll end there and throw it out.
All right, Denny.
Okay. I'm going to read verse 13, maybe through 16. We are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the brightness fade and disappear. Their minds indeed were closed, and to this day, their minds are covered with the same veil as they read the books of the Old Testament. The veil is removed only when a person is joined to Christ. Even today, when they read the law of Moses, the veil still covers their minds, but it can be removed, as the scripture says about Moses, the veil was removed. Anyway, then he goes on to that verse. Moses, the veil over Moses' face was to hide the fact that the glory was fading, because under the law, they could only have a fading glory, because they went from sin to sin to sin to sin, and there was no end to it. They could not get saved through the law. But under Christ and through faith, we go from overcoming to overcoming to overcoming to overcoming. It's an increasing glory until we come into his image. So it's a the glory we have continues. It's an increasing glory, whereas under the law, it's a fading glory. And so the unveiled face means that, we get it now. Just keep beholding Jesus, keep turning to him every time, every time, every time, every time, and you will walk in glory. You will always overcome, as long as we continue to look to him each time. Hallelujah.
Perfect, Denny. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen. That's exactly right. That's the glory to glory to glory to glory. From star glory to moon glory to sun glory. That's eliminating our soul from ourself to Jesus. Walking in maturity. And yes, you can come into that maturization process to sun glory. That's going to be the man child. Who was that? Somebody raised their hand there just a second. That was Paula. Go ahead, Paula.
I just want to say that it was the same verse that got my attention, was verse 15. But unto this day, whenever Moses read, a veil lieth upon their heart. Exactly what Denny said, but whenever it shall, when man shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And it reminds me of spiritual circumcision. That veil is an uncircumcised heart. And it says in Colossians 2:11, in whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So just wanted to say that.
Amen. Yeah, Rayan, go ahead.
There was another question that Pat had, which was, what is the hope? And I was thinking that the Bible tells us what the hope is. The hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now that I think about that glory, it has a different meaning again. It's that Moses received that glory. He had to veil it immediately because, like Denny said now, it started fading the moment he received it. But we have a different hope of glory because we can have Christ in us. So as long as they read Moses and the law, that's just going to bring death and the glory that passes away. But if you turn to Christ, if you turn to the Lord, that veil is taken away. You have Christ in you, who is the hope of glory. And you have to kind of see it to believe it. That's what we're saying. You got to see it to believe it. How do you see it? You got to look in the mirror and see the glory. But you couldn't, if you had to say this to the Jews, they would say it's blasphemy. You can't go into the Holy of Holies and behold the glory because you would die. And we say, no, that is the hope that we have, is that now God lives in us. His temple is in us. And we can behold that glory, but you can't see it because you've got to look in the mirror. You've got to look at yourself, but you've got to look at not yourself. You've got to look at Christ in you. He is that hope of glory. And the more you look at that, the more you see that glory, the more you are transformed into that image, which is Christ. Christ is the image. Yeah, that's Denny. That was amazing. Thank you so much for that. That was really brilliant.
Amen. Yeah, we like that. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, this may be something just to overlay over this. This has just come from stuff I've been reading the last week or two. The word, the Hebrew word for glory is the same word for honor. And I've just been pondering as the conversation goes along, because, you know, when I first hear either word, I think of, oh, glory for me, honor for me, you know, promote, where, you know, and then humility goes smack, you know, go back down. But yeah, I, you know, if you could imagine, and that's the best I can do of being, you know, bang in the presence of God, my honor won't, or my glory, whatever you want to put it, whichever way you want to put it, won't allow me to stand there. But I do need his honor, you know, and if you go right back to Genesis, I was just thinking, we, you know, as human beings, were put in a tremendous place of honor to speak, you know, to be God's authority on this earth, where he wants to, you know, and ultimately he's going to bring heaven and earth together. That's about all I've got, you know, as far as the whole conversation goes. But I just thought that might be just a nice little film to put over the top of it as far as the whole honor thing with glory. Because, you know, one thing I'm learning is that, you know, before the throne of God, and look, as I say, the best I can do is have a very vague, you know, image of it. But there's angelic creatures there who protect the honor coming before it, or the glory, as you want to put it. So, you know, we so most certainly so much need, you know, to put on Christ to walk in there. But, you know, we've been there. I've been there. Not so much I've been to heaven sort of trip, but I know when I pray, it's like on the glassy sea. And then you get really humble about that. You go, no, clothe me, please clothe me. End of comment.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Go ahead, Leah.
I just want to point out another unrelated verse that I think is appropriate here. In the book of Galatians, you know, it's all about the Galatians going back under the law, the things of the law. They wanted to be circumcised. They wanted not to eat pork. They wanted this, that, and the other. They wanted to put themselves back under the law. But one verse in particular in Galatians 4, verse 9, Paul makes this statement. He says, but then, indeed, when you did not know God, wait a minute. Let me read it out of this. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, and now there's a difference, not just that you know God, but now God knows you. God knows who you are. He goes on to say, why turn back to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage over again? And that would be putting that veil back on. So the thing I wanted to point out is it's not a big deal that we know God. It's a big deal, though, that God knows us. And that's an important thing in our relationship with God, is that he knows us. And that was kind of what I was talking about when the Ten Commandments and the people rejected. They could have known God in a different way if they had just believed, not in fear, but they could have known who God was and God could have known who they were. But they just turned out to be, that rat pack Israel, you know, that sinning, that tribe of sinners that I always got to deal with. And they got to die in the wilderness and so forth. But they had an opportunity right then to meet God and to know him and get to love him and so forth and so on, but they rejected that. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, Judy, Sue, or Gano, whatever, which one of you three amigos it is. I figured it'd be Sue.
I was just thinking of the transparency, the word transparency, and how, you know, when you go from glory to glory, the light shines more and more and more. And it's just like we're these vessels, we're like a glass, but we got opaque. The flesh it makes an opaque thing around our vessel to the point where we can't see what's inside of nobody else can either. I'm just thinking of that as an example of us. The more we gain Christ, the more transparent we are. The more the light can shine through, you know. And the only way I think of that example is like a glass that's got paint on it and it needs to come off, you know. Eventually it wears off and then you can see more inside of what's in the glass, you know. But that's what came to me too.
Michael, you're muted.
I knew that. I said, Julie, you want to read that Romans 8, 29? 28, 29?
I didn't hear you. Yeah, sure, Michael, I'll read that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're funny. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's it. Christ in us, hope of glory. He's going to glorify us all. Flesh is gone, dead. Jesus can shine through us.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Which one of y'all raised your hand first? I saw them both go up at the same time. Let's see. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Claire. Go ahead, Rian. One of y'all.
This is something that I thought of now, is when it says there that the first veil that came onto Moses, that's the veil that brought death, right? Like it's the old covenant, it's the covenant of death. But it says there that the new covenant, when the veil has been taken away, is the veil unto life. But that life is still a life of death. You still have to die. It's still exactly the same. It's just one is a death of liberty, of life, and the other is a death of that separates you from God. And I just thought that parallel, that type is still the same. It's still the same of, if you want to behold his glory, you will die. Either way, you're going to die. But one is a death to self. Go ahead. Go ahead, Claire.
I just had a picture in my mind of the veil being the veil for the bride. She's got a veil on until she's the wife.
That's right. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Denny, somebody asked that you write that out and put it out there so we could copy and paste it. That's pretty good. What you talked about with the veil with Moses and also the New Covenant veil. If you could do it or get Debbie to do it or something and write it out, and put it in the chat, that'd be awesome. That's not that long, but it's awesome. Yeah, Pat.
So not to belabor the point, but
okay,
what is the glory? I know that it is, it's the glory of the Lord. It's looking in the mirror at Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of the Word. But what is the glory that we are beholding in the mirror? When you say we're beholding Jesus in the mirror, the first thing that pops in my mind is a picture of a man. But we're not looking at a picture of a man or a reflection of a man or a person. We're looking at the glory. So what is that glory?
All right. What does name mean? What does name mean? What does David say name mean?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Nature, character, nature, and authority.
Yeah. That's what you're looking at. That's the glory that God's looking for. The glory of Jesus is the nature, character, and Jesus in you. Go ahead, Julie. She may have a little better one.
I don't know. What was coming to me is, you know, the parable of the seed and the sower, where everyone is given right up front 100-fold fruit. I think that's in Luke. But it's like you have 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. That's the fruit of Christ that we are manifesting in our life. The more we, our old nature, the old person, so what we inherited through the blood, the more that we die and the more that Christ lives in us, the more fruit of Christ that becomes who we are, that's who goes to heaven, right? So that's what I believe is also like the glory of the Lord. It's how much of Christ alive in us, how much of a, you know, the dead nature has been done away in this life. As we die, he becomes more. So it's like, it's the glory is the fruit of Christ. It's 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of Christ is also the glory, which in is his image, is his nature, is his care. It's all who Christ is. And how much you are dead to your old life and he lives in you. That's what I believe is what he's saying there. That's the glory of the Lord. Amen. And Missy's got something more.
Well, wait a minute. Andrew had his hand up. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, if there's 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, because we're all supposed to be in Christ, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. And that's a fellowship verse, but you're also likened to the temple. And within the temple, especially like next month sometime, there Jews are going to be putting those candles in their windows, the Hanukkah candle. But each one of those candles is a glory that's within you. One is, Isaiah 11 and 1 and 2, where it speaks about the glory of God's knowledge coming to you, the glory of God's understanding. Each one of those lights represents an individual glory. And then there's the glory of God's wisdom, and then the glory of God's spirit, and the fear of the Lord is a glory. The strength of the Lord is a glory, and the counsel of the Lord is a glory. So all these glories are given to you by your Father. And actually, the Lord Jesus, I believe, is petitioning for you to get more of this glory 24/7. And you actually petition for him for this, more of this glory, or just an understanding of it. Everyone has the greatest part of it through knowledge, and knowledge could even go to a person who's going to be saved from God to get his salvation knowledge. And glory, if you were to take star glory, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he mentions that each star differs in glory. So you start at the 30 wattage and you go up to the 59, and then I believe something happens when you get into reflecting God's glory rather than just emanating as a star. And then of course the sun glory would be back to your emanating God's glory, but in a more authoritative position given by God. So this glory aspect is also in accordance to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that you're children of light. So there's a lot in this glory, and that's why it goes from glory to glory, which I think collates with Romans 1:16 and 17, because it's faith to faith, and also collates with the grace verse, grace upon grace. And since it's faith that worketh love, and everyone reads the love chapter, the more you grow in faith, the more you are obedient. And that's why he says, if any love me, he'll keep my word. So it's going just like in the first page of John, it goes from word to life to light. And that's the glory of God in you. And let's not forget, for all the little children, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So that's an aspect that goes all the way even to children, you know. And children seem to be really innocent and really want to shine, and then they goof up because they're just children and they're not in the Lord yet. And then eventually, through their parents and through whoever else, they get birthed, and the glory continues to increase from then for there. But you know, you would always think of, well, what about the person who's only at 28? You know, the glory of the fruit of 30-fold fruit in the parable of the sower, but what about the 28s and 29s? God can jump them up all the way to 35, you know? And it all depends on where you were here on earth, what kind of beginning you got too. You know, some of us had to struggle a lot with earthly things, and you know, and then there's that verse where it mentions the destroyers of the earth. So the destroyers of the earth is a person who's bringing in the bad seed, I guess, in the parable right after the parable of the sower. And of course, the other three lands that you're not supposed to be in the church. So even if you get into that fourth land, you can have the parable after the parable of the sower of the four lands where someone brings in the bad seed, which you don't want. But both grow to the end. And that might also explain a falling away for some and some being revived in the future. So this glory is the glory that comes forth out of the Father. I forget the Greek word we were taught for it, but glory is really important.
Okay, Missy.
Okay, Lord, help me say this. to me, glory simply means I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Glory is simply denying myself so that he can be shine out of me. He lives out of me. As he is in this world, even so are we. Glory is just Jesus living out of me. That's what glory is. He's shining out of me. He's living out of me. He's the one that's living. I'm not living. You know, and we know what it is to deny ourselves by reading the word and putting it in our heart. And that's what changes us from glory to glory. Actually, what I see, the mirror is the word. The mirror is the word because Jesus is the word. So when you look at the word and you read the word and believe it but we all with unveiled face behold as in the mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. The Lord is the Word, and the Word is the Spirit. I mean, it's all meshes together. So simply put, glory is Jesus living out of us. And
amen. Go ahead, Dave. Are you through, Missy?
I think so.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I'm good. I think I heard enough. I was going to just talk more about, if anything, to have this glory on the glory and the glory, you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People that don't have that aren't going to receive this levels of glory. They can't get there. That's the first thing. It's going to have to be necessary for a person's life. One of the things that happens when the man child comes on the scene is he brings everybody up into the kingdom, you know, and we all get this kingdom knowledge and get closer to the Lord. And then the man child is always removed to a degree, so that whatever you've been received, then you have to walk it out. So it makes people responsible. I mean, when the man child comes on the scene, there's going to be all the signs and wonders are going to be following that. And there's going to be, that makes people responsible. And that's something we have to, the people that don't grow into this glory to glory to glory, like
Danny was talking about the overcoming. You know, we have to overcome to get this glory in the walk in the light, as Andrew's talking about. The more light we get, the more we overcome, the better off we will be for standing in the trial when the man child is not there, and we'll have to be the witnesses. That will be our time to be the witness. So it's very important that we get this glory to glory to glory. We start get this overcoming. And it's all by faith, but it's by the power of God. And we need that. We need that Holy Spirit baptism and guidance to do this, because we can't do it on our own. And that's what the overcomers are going to be able to do, is they're going to have that oil, that spirit, that lamp lit. But our responsibility now is to continue to overcome, become more and more into that glory of the Lord. So when the man child comes, we become even brighter than that brightness. We don't want that brightness ever to diminish. What would diminish the brightness is getting back into the flesh and following after the flesh and falling in the wilderness like the Israel did. And for us, the farther we get into this glory, if we were to fall, it would be utter destruction, you know, because we would be looking on the sacrifice of Jesus as being a profane, unholy thing, and that would reprobate us. That's the danger of getting closer and closer to God, is if you fall, there might not be a way back. You know, I bring that up as a sincere warning, and not trying to dissuade anybody, but you know, we want to get closer and closer and not let the flesh have its way. You know, we want to have the overcoming spirit, and we want to rely upon the Lord for all this and take it seriously, because when the man child does come, it's going to be a time to be glory and come into that image of Christ even more than we ever had. But there will be a falling away. And I don't think it'll be any of us. I pray the Lord that does not happen. Most likely it'll be the people that aren't spirit filled. Never came into have the Lord to help them sustain what they need. So that's just what was on my mind.
Okay, go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to share a thought. As we were talking about what is glory for that particular verse, or for most verses as usual, I got to thinking about my understanding of the word glory itself. And I found basically a full circle connection here. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and the dictionary says that glory is high renown or honor won by notable achievement or magnificence or great beauty, praise, worship, and thanksgiving offered to a deity. Also, there's a few others. But when I thought about that, I thought to myself, well, if somebody showed up and tried to offer that to me as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, I'd say you're talking to the wrong person. As somebody living by the Spirit, I can only give all of that to Jesus Christ. And so in the end, glory, my glory is Christ in me, period. Also, we have a prayer request for the end of the discussion.
Okay, go ahead, Leah.
I just wanted to say that person you see in the mirror is not Jesus Christ. It's you. It's you. But you see Jesus in you. You see Jesus. You see the glory of God in you. You got to visualize you are in the mirror. That's all you're ever going to see. But the fact that you're knowing God, the fact that you're serving God, the fact that you're working with God, the fact that God knows you, the fact that he's working in you, and all of this stuff, that's the glory that you're going to see. It's not just going to be you looking at you in the mirror. It's like me looking at the screen and seeing myself. You know, I want to see Jesus in there, in that Leon right there. I want to see him manifest himself in there. I want to know that he knows me and I know him, and that all those things are happening with us together. And that's the glory that you get. It's not a different person. It's you. It's God in you. It's Jesus in you. It's that your hope of glory, that Jesus is in you, and you see yourself as Jesus. And that's what you attain to, is seeing yourself as Jesus. That's getting rid of the flesh. Okay. It's no longer your flesh that you see, but it's the Spirit of God living in you. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's what we were talking about. Spiritually speaking, you see Jesus in yourself, like you said. Amen. Okay.
Well, that's where people do a misconception. They think they're going to see another person in the mirror, but you don't. You see yourself in there, but you see Christ in you, and you see God working in you. And that's what it's talking about. It's not like you see yourself as like Paul said in Corinthians, you see yourself in the mirror and you just move on and do the same old things. It's you and God and manifested in you that you see. So I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's fine. Well, we don't look in a natural mirror, though. We look in a spiritual mirror. Amen. That's good. All right. I got something I'd like to read here. And it kind of puts it all into perspective. And it's out of Andy Murray. He said, is it any wonder that the Christian life is so often feeble and fruitless when the very root of the Christ life is rejected, or I'm sorry, is neglected, is unknown? Is it any wonder that the joy of salvation is so little felt when that in which Christ found it and brings it is so little sought? Until a humility which will rest in nothing less than the end and death of self, which gives up all the honor of men as Jesus did, to seek the honor that comes from God alone, which absolutely makes and counts itself nothing, that God may be all, that the Lord alone may be exalted, until such a humility be what we seek in Christ above our chief joy and welcome at any price, there's very little hope of a religion that will conquer the world. What he's saying is we have to die to self, and that's what the glory to glory to glory is that we've been talking about all night long. It's the dying to self and allowing Jesus to be manifested in our life from glory to glory, from the sandbox to the graduation ceremony. Amen. All right, anybody else? Oh man, we're running out of time here. Let's go ahead, Lana. What's the prayer request?
Theo and I have decided to pay a visit to my sister and her husband this weekend in Oklahoma. She recently had a baby, and we've been kind of putting off the trip, just waiting for the Lord to kind of free us up and send us over there. And my sister is very close and very involved with the rest of my family. And so our concern is for spiritual guidance, because a conversation with them could go south very quickly. And the last thing we want to do, since the distance that's been built between us with our last visit to my parents' place, the last thing we want to do is build a bigger rift to bring more division. And instead, for the Lord to put a guard over our mouths, if he doesn't want us to speak, and if he does want us to speak, let it be for his glory, and so that we know that it's from him. Because this, I really don't want to build any more in the negative direction than really necessary, unless it's from the Lord. And it's just heavy on my heart, because
like I said, they're closely tied to my parents, and it could get the whole family involved. But we want to do our part, be weak to the weak, visit them and their new baby, spend a little time. We are family after all. It's just, it's a heavy one. So.
Amen. Well, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Theo and Lana and the kids. We thank you, Father, when they go over to visit family, that they will be weak to the weak, and let there be grace flowing from their mouths. And Father, we thank you that it's going to be an awesome time renewing their relationship with the family. And the family's going to see the love of Christ in them. And Lord, I ask that you draw back that veil on their faces to see the light in Theo and Lana, the love that they have for them, regardless of what their belief system is. And they'll see it and want to know more about it. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that this is going to be an awesome time with their family. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, because I believe it's going to happen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Whew. Tongues a lot.
Huh?
Going to pray in tongues a lot on the way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Pat, something that just came to my mind was one of David's testimonies when he was working at one of those places. I don't know if it was Exxon or whatever, but somebody who worked with him saw the glory of the Lord shining around him, like an aura kind of thing. So it is seen. There is something there in the spirit realm. But I just believe, you know, we are the Word made flesh, just as Jesus was the Word made flesh. And the more of the Word that's in you, the more Christ is in you. That's what's being seen in the spirit realm, the glory of the Lord. It's Him. You know, that's it.
Did you have something else, Lana?
Oh, no, sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for an awesome time tonight. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you be with us and guide us and show us. Give us that power to be overcomers, Lord. We all want to attain to the sun glory where we have defeated the enemy in our soul. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us. Place it in our hearts to walk that walk that you want us to walk, Lord. And let us get up in the morning time to pray and ask you to help us with that overcoming power to die to the flesh all day long. I ask that for myself and my brothers and sisters here in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a good night's sleep tonight. That mighty dreams and visions be evident. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the good testimonies we're going to see the next time we come together, or hear the next time we come together in Jesus' name. Protect us, provide for us, and deliver us, Father, from the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good night, y'all. See
good
y'all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Bye. Thanks, everybody, for sharing.
Yeah.
God bless you all.
It was really good.